Well, those next 2 weeks, those things coming, those are important to be involved with. Ricky's leading the way on a team of people really focusing on how do we reach the Cordova community, Cordova proper, and some of you need to be missionaries on that team and say, hey, we care about reaching our neighborhood, and so just go find out and be a part of that. That's coming up next week, and he's gathering a group of folks, and some of you need to be a part of that. And then one day, I don't know if y'all caught that, but there won't be any service here one day. That's the 27th, so we have a ton of fun doing that out in the park all together. You gotta be there. It'll be a great, great morning together as a church. We're in this series called Tov. That word translates to good or goodness, and we're asking this question: what kind of culture do we have as a church? And that Old Testament word for good, that's the kind of culture we want, a goodness culture, a culture of goodness where we care for each other in ways that promote this sense of culture that you just want to be a part of. And we really have that as a church. We experience that as a church and as a church family. But if you don't pay attention to this, churches drift. And so it's something that we want to pay attention to. We want to be intentional about our culture as a church. And we've been walking through several different things, and we'll look at a different aspect of that today as we open the scripture together. Would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks. Thanks that you give us your word, that you would speak to us. And that's what we long for, God. We want to be your people. We long to be filled by you. And we long to actually live out your calling on our lives. And so as we read your word today, would you help us to understand it, to get it, but not just understand it, but to actually implement it, to put it into practice in our lives. That's what we want. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, I told you a couple of weeks back that one of the important parts of creating a culture, a biblical culture, is to be a church of empathy, where we care for each other, where we can connect with each other, and we pay attention to the hurts and longings and happiness and joys of each other in relationship. And I told you, empathy is something I am not good at, right? Like I score zero on those empathy tests. And some of you have been making fun of me all week for that in the last couple of weeks. But it's true, something that, you know, that I have to work on. But we made a discovery as I was talking to staff this week. And that is, you know, they're always like, man, you have no feelings. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, as a human, you have no feelings at all. But this week, we were talking about books, and the books in my house are like sacred to me, right? And I was telling them how Cammie tried to throw away some of our books, and it was awful, you know. Some of them were books we haven't read in a million years. It's just, and I've got too many. I've got stacks growing. You know, you have the bookcase, and then I have the stacks growing in front of the books on the bookcase. And she's like, "Dude, you got to get rid of some of the." And I was, "You can't do that to me, you know. That's not just a casual decision that you make, to throw away a book. What kind of human would do that, you know?" And then she wanted to throw away some of the kids' books. And I was like, "You can't, what?" She's like, "These books are for 3-year-olds. You know, your youngest is 9. Like, we're way past that." And I was like, "But the memories that we have, you know, reading that book together." And I got almost teared up just thinking about some of the books that she tried to throw away. And the staff looked at me and said, "See, you do have feelings. Like, you actually do have empathy. You know, it just might not be for humans, but there's something that you love." I didn't grow up as a Presbyterian. We're a Presbyterian church, and I've been one for a long time. But I didn't grow up in kind of this wing of the church. You know, I think about God's church as a house with many rooms, and there are incredible rooms, all different kinds. And I grew up in a different kind of room of the house, and it was wonderful, great impact. But somewhere over 20 years ago, I found my way to kind of this room of the church that our church is kind of a part of that group. And one of the things I fell in love with is that this wing of the church, this room in God's church, loves not just a faith of the heart. That matters to me, right? That's how I grew up. That's important. Like we have this, you know, passion in our faith. But this wing of the church also has a love of the mind, right? That says that we're going to be people that actually study, and we're going to be people of God's word, and we're going to study God's word, and that we care about our faith in both our heart and our heads. And you know, it's sort of the wing of the church that has the books that they, you know, care about. And I'm like, oh, no wonder I found my people. But actually, it's a really, really incredible thing to get to be a part of a church body like this one, a group of people that say, we're going to be people of the word, and we're going to be people that study the word. When Paul was talking to Timothy, he was so glad that Timothy was studying scripture. That would have been the Old Testament. He encouraged him in that. And then there's this moment where Paul's writing, and you know, the New Testament, a lot of the New Testament are letters that Paul wrote to different churches, and he was traveling around, and so he would write back to guys to help him out with something from a past church. And he was writing to a guy who was going to come and meet him at another place, and we see it right there in scripture. You know, some of scripture, it's like reading people's text messages. He's like, hey, and remember, you know, don't forget, you got to bring my scrolls with you. He was concerned about his books. You see where I'm going? And he just, that love of learning, and that love of learning the scripture, that just connects with me. And it's who we are as a church. And it's actually a really important thing that we're a church that that are going to pursue truth. We're going to pursue scripture, and we're not afraid of tough questions. We're not just going to do like easy answers, but we'll say, no, let's really think about this. Let's really dive in. Let's actually study it. Let's figure out what's being said here. I want you to look at a passage that that Paul wrote to a church. This is the church in Ephesus, and it comes from Ephesians chapter 4. He's writing to this church, and he's talking to them about some of the difficulties that they're facing as a church, and what they need to do. And he's talking to them about the gifts that God has given them as a church. And we've talked about this before here, that God has given us all the gifts that we need, different roles and positions, and not like official roles, but like he's given different talents and different skill sets, and he's given these gifts to the church, and it takes the whole church together. And Paul's going to talk about it as to become mature. And he says, you need to grow in this. So look at what he says. This is Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll pick it up in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He says, you've been given all these different gifts, and all of them are part of building up the church. But part of that is knowledge. That knowledge about who Christ is and who God is and how God sees the world. See, that's something that we learn. And as we learn that, we're built up together as a church. And then verse 14, see where he goes with this. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. He gives us the image. I'm not sure. You know, the image he gives is infants tossed about by the waves. Probably most of you don't just throw your infants into the ocean and just watch them be tossed about. That might not be a common, you know, image. But you get the idea if you've ever been with a little kid in the waves. And one of my guys used to say, come on, Dad, let's go crash the waves. You know, you go out and they're crashing and you're barely hanging on to them and you're sloshed everywhere. And he gives that image for the church. And it's almost as if Paul understands that even 2,000 years ago, there were all kinds of pressures and all kinds of ideas all kinds of people trying to push and guide, often not in the way of Christ. He talks about them as being deceiving. There are all these kind of deceiving ideas that are out there, and sometimes they seem so close to what's true and right, and they're just off. And at times, those are the most dangerous ones. And Paul talks about how we can kind of get lost in that and be pushed around. And as a church, he says, you need to grow to maturity. And the way that you do it is you speak truth. See, we're a group of people that will pursue truth. We're going to study the scripture. We're going to ask the difficult questions. And we're not just going to take a simple answer. You know, sometimes I just want a simple answer. I just want it to be easy. I want to just go like yes or no, and that's it. You know, I want the clear cut, like, hey, did that, you know, and sometimes there's a shortcut to that. You're like, well, if that publisher published that book, that's fine. Or if that group did that TV show, then you know, that one must be fine. You know, it's okay. And I'll just go like that. I just want to take the easy answer. But Paul doesn't let you get away with that. He says you pursue truth. You want to be grown up, spiritually mature. You want to go after even the nuance of something. You ask the question, and then you ask the question behind the question. It's as if in Scripture they're not afraid of any questions, because God is bigger than all of that, right? It's God's truth. And as we pursue truth, right, we start to see the truth that God has for us. God can handle our questions. The Scripture can handle our questions. And we don't just say, well, you know, the Bible says it, so I believe it. Now, that sounds great. I like that, right? Bible says it, I believe it, that's it. I love it, the simplicity of that. And I want to live that kind of life, right? It's in the Scripture, and that's what I'm going to do, like, easy as pie. But sometimes two different people can read that same Bible and see it in two different ways, right? And so the calling of to be a people that pursue truth means we go even further. We say, well, what's the context of that passage? Well, what's that really talking about? I'll give you an example from my own heritage. My grandparents were part of a denomination that really took the Scripture literally. And that's, I have a spiritual heritage of that. I love that. I mean, they just saw, they read it in Scripture. They're like, hey, it's God's word, and we're going to live like that. And I think that's an incredible thing. But that denomination read a passage years and years ago that says you should not use any gold for ornament. There's a passage that says that. You know, you don't wear any gold for ornament. And so that denomination decided one of the most important things was to take that literally and not wear any jewelry. Now, that was one of the most important markers for them of being a Christian, was to say, we're not going to wear any jewelry at all. You know, no wedding bands, no gold necklace, no, you know, whatever. You could maybe get away with a big showy pin. That's what my grandma used to say. Maybe a big showy pin, you know. But I think she was missing the point. But it's okay. No jewelry at all. Now, some of you guys are super cheap, and you're like, what's that denomination? That's not a bad. I see some of you calculating. You're like, maybe I could be part of, but they wore none of that. Now, they were trying to live out Scripture faithfully. If you dig into that passage, you begin to look at the context, you try to see what was really being talked about there, they sort of miss a point on it, right? It's about where we set our priorities and how we worship God and God alone. There were some cultural implications on that. And so, you know, we want to be people that are faithful to the word. And we say, so that denomination, later on, they dropped the rule, right? And my grandparents were the first ones out to get nice big. I was like, maybe you guys are going overboard, actually, on the other. You know, I was like, hey, I thought that was like a spiritual, you know, I thought that was a spiritual thing. It was the Bible. All those years you preached on that. And they were like, well, rule changed, you know? But okay. But what was cool is to watch them, they said, we're going to continue to pursue truth. Right? Like even as a group, even as a denomination, right? They said, well, we'll continue to pursue truth. We'll continue to look for the answer. We'll continue to dig deeper. And I want us to be a church that has that kind of commitment to the Scripture. Sometimes we might get things wrong. We might not have perfection, but God has given us His Holy Spirit. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to the church, to the body, that we would interpret Scripture together. So we stand in this long tradition of the church. We stand this long tradition of the church with things like the Apostles' Creed. So when we do communion, we recite the Apostles' Creed together. And that Apostles' Creed is the church saying, hey, here, this is an interpretation of Scripture. And it's just real clear, right, that Jesus was with God and he comes to earth and gives his life for us. And so that's real clear in the Apostles' Creed. And we can see it because the church has come together and said, hey, this is the clear interpretation of Scripture. We stand together on that. And as a church, we're part of a denomination that asks questions and gets real clarity around Scripture and does deep Bible study and even says, hey, these are the things that we believe and we stand on and these are the essentials. And we can come together like that as a church because God's given the Holy Spirit to the church. It's not just one of us. It's not just Kaz sitting in my office interpreting Scripture by myself, but we do it together as the church. So this is our commitment. We're going to be people that pursue truth. We're going to be people that pursue the Scripture. We're going to understand the Scripture in its context. We're going to exegete it. We're going to do that together with the whole church and stand in the tradition of the church, which helps us find the boundaries and the markers. And you heard Paul say it. We're going to speak the truth, and he says, in love. And why did he have to say that? Because he recognized that some of us are good at truth, actually. We're like, hey, this is it. It's black and white. It's easy. I can see the truth. It's clear. It's black and white. That's the way it should be. And we just use that like a big hammer on people, right? Hey, you're not in. You're not doing what it says just real clearly. And we don't often handle that well with people. And Paul knew that, right? So Paul says, we pursue the truth. And we do it in love. We do this in connection and in relationship. We try to understand truth, recognizing that life is messy. And for each person, as we try to understand the truth and we try to come to Scripture, we come with a whole bunch of life stories and life situations. It's not always clear cut and easy. And Paul says, you got to be willing to enter the mess. You got to carry the truth into relationship. You can't do truth without relationship. You do both. Now that's hard, but that's the call, what it means to be people of truth. Now, one of the things I love is that we're not just people that seek to understand truth, but we're people that submit our lives to truth. We say Scripture is the only rule of life and faith, that we'll submit to the Scripture. See, because there are truths that I really like and I'm really good at. Those are the truths that don't mess with me. You know what I mean? The truths that mess with other people. Like, hey, you guys are blowing it over there, but that doesn't bother my life. I'm good at those. I can point those out all day long. The problem is when that truth starts to mess with the way I do my life. When that truth starts to mess with the way I prioritize things, the way I see things, when that truth starts to call into question my thought life and call into question my priorities, that gets real, real tricky. I was once, years and years ago, over 20 years ago, I was at a lecture that a professor was giving. He was a theology professor, and he said he was dealing with a really tricky issue in Scripture. And he said, as I read this, there's no way around it. I look at it, I look at the Scripture, and he goes, some people try to say with Paul, you know, that he wasn't calling this a sin, but he goes, as much as I look at this, he says, Paul writes it right here. It's sin. That's what Paul says. And then he says, but if Paul were alive today, he would change his mind. I was like, whoa, that's convenient. I didn't know you could do that, right? He just, oh yeah, if Paul were around, he'd just do it differently. I was like, man, that makes stuff so much easier. It's also just not right. This is the Word of God given by the Holy Spirit to us. And sometimes we have to be formed by that in ways that we don't like. We don't just explain around it. We're people of the truth, people that are committed to pursuing truth. And we're people that will submit to the truth, even the most difficult ones. Now, that's big picture stuff, right? That's like, well, there are truths out there. We want to be people of truth. We get that big picture. We'll be a church that pursues truth. That's big. But I want you to start to catch that there's a personal side of this as well. Right? The implications for this are very personal. When Paul is writing this to this church, he's talking about grow up as a church and become mature and pursue truth and be studiers of the word, right? And then he says, and speaking the truth in love. All of a sudden, it got real personal because what is he talking about? He's saying, well, in your relationships, when you talk to each other about things that are true, you're talking about things that are true in each other's lives and places where you miss in each other's lives. That's how you grow to maturity. All of a sudden, I mean, that's just tricky, right? That gets a whole lot more difficult. There's one author, pastor, that's written on this named John Ortberg, and he writes this. Imagine going to a church where you hear, don't worry if you mismanage your anger. Nobody here will confront you on that because we don't like conflict. And don't worry if you hoard lots of money. Lots of us have lots of money, but we'll never ask you to give because some of you might get mad and leave. And don't worry if you're passive in the face of injustice. We prefer passivity, right? We might talk occasionally about sin, especially sin out there, but nobody will talk to you about your sin because that wouldn't feel good. And the goal of church is to feel good, right? That stings a little bit, right? Does that sting a little bit? I like a church where you walk out and you feel good. That was great. I love that. And to be sure, we preach grace. I mean, grace transforms lives. But if we go straight to grace and we don't go through truth to get there, we're missing. Transformation becomes empty. Right? You actually have to start with truth. And that's the part I don't like. Years ago, Cammie was like, several years ago, and when we lived in Texas, 4 or 5 years ago, Cammie was like, my wife was like, you got to go to the doctor, and you got to get a checkup, man. And I'm very bad at that. I never go when I'm supposed to. You got to go to the doctor. You got to get a checkup. You're not living, you know, in healthy ways. And you need, I think she was thinking, I need somebody else to tell him this, right, so that he'll get it. And so she sends me to the doctor, and, you know, there's a couple doctors. I really didn't like them, but I got one doctor, man. This guy, he was my favorite. He was so out of shape. I mean, he was not eating well, you know what I mean? And he could barely breathe getting into the room. And he looked at me, and he's like, you're looking all right. And I was like, yes, I am. Thanks, man, you know? Kind of sucked in a little bit. Like, yeah. He said, how you doing? You feeling good? I said, I'm feeling good. And he signed a form, and I was out of there. I was like, this is my favorite doctor that I have ever had. I went home. I was like, Cammie, sign me up for regular checkups. I'm going all the time to that guy. I felt good walking out of there. He's like, you're doing great, man. I was like, yes, yes. You're laughing because you know that's not the point, right? Doctor's not supposed to tell you that. In fact, I really could have used, like, hey, all these things are out of whack, and you better get it straight. You know, you got to start eating right. You need to exercise. Imagine if I was just eating up with cancer inside, and he was like, well, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. How mad would you be? We like the idea of truth, but when it gets personal, that's a different story, man. To hear that I have a sin problem, you know, that's a lot more difficult. But guys, I need you, and you need me, because we all have sin problems. Scripture says it in many different places, many different ways. John writes, the Gospel of John writes this, if we claim that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. I'm good at deceiving myself. I say I like to be a person of truth, but I can look right around some pretty big truths. Prophet Obadiah in the Old Testament, he said, the pride of your heart has deceived you. And Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful. We're actually amazingly good at not seeing truth when we don't want to see it. I'm good at seeing truth sometimes in others. I'm not good at seeing truth in me. And I need you. I need you to speak truth to me. That's really, really difficult. But that's what Paul's talking about when he talks to this church in Ephesus. He says, you want to grow up? You don't want to be battered about by the waves. You want transformation in your life? You got to start with truth. There's that old movie years and years back, Few Good Men, right, where there's a scene, and it's kind of the courtroom scene, and the lawyer is saying, you got to tell the truth, and the witness yells back, it's Jack Nicholson. Some of you guys remember this. Some of you, this movie was 30 years before you're born, I guess. But he says, you can't handle the truth, right? And there's something about that that sticks with all of us, because I'm like, there's some truths I don't think I can handle. And maybe I don't want to handle. I sure don't want to face them. But there's another quote. It's a quote from Scripture. And that quote says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you want to find freedom, yeah, we all want freedom. But if you want to find freedom, you start with truth, right? Now, if I could edit Scripture, which we've learned, I'm not allowed to do that, can't change things, but if I could edit it, I'd say, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you miserable at first. You will know the truth, and it will mess you up. You will know the truth, and it will rattle the way that you've seen your life and the way that you've been living. You will know the truth, and it will mess with you, and eventually you will be set free, right? Because the process starts with knowing truth, hearing it, hearing what's really broken in me and in us and in our culture. I mean, all the places we go, we got to know the truth and see what's really broken. And then we are given God's grace. And that grace says, come on, you're a different person than that. The grace says, come on, you need to change direction. That word, that's a biblical word, change direction. It's a biblical word, repent. We change, and then we respond to that grace. But it starts with knowing truth, knowing the brokenness. And Paul says, you need to speak that to each other in love. Now, some of us are better at speaking it. Some of us are better at just we just want the love part, you know. We're not hurting base feelings. Paul says you hold both, right? Now there's some examples, some Old Testament examples. Amos, a prophet, prophets, I don't know, they could have heard from Paul some. Prophet Amos, he was talking to a group of people and they were not living well, and he says, you fat cows. That's the biblical quote, actually. You fat cows. Now, I'm gonna suggest to you, if you're gonna try practicing speaking truth to other people, don't quote Amos, all right? Let's not, that's probably not where to start. Prophets sometimes just lay it out there, man. They people don't like prophets, and sometimes people just don't even hear prophets because they talk that way. Paul says you're going to have to do this in love. You're going to have to do this in relationship. See, we have relationship with each other, and we love each other so deeply that we're willing to risk telling truth. And we're willing to risk, maybe this is even harder, hearing truth. What if we were a church that was willing to hear truth? We're going to pursue it all together. We're going to pursue it within our church. We're going to pursue it within our culture, right? We're just going to ask hard questions. We're going to keep asking. We're going to look at Scripture. We're going to be people of Scripture. We're going to pursue truth, but we're also going to be people that are open and willing to hearing truth. And then we're going to dive deep into our relationships. And we're going to speak truth to each other. Jesus is one of the great stories in Scripture where there was a woman who was it's called the woman caught in adultery. She's caught, and there was a prescribed punishment for that, and they kind of threw her into the middle of this square, and they said, Jesus, you know, what should we do? The prescription was to stone her. And some of you know that story. Jesus kneels down. He kind of positions himself down on her level by her. And you know, Scripture tells us that Jesus looks up and he says, anybody that is without sin, you cast the first stone. People just, they walk off. They get it. They hear. Everybody knows that they're broken and that they've got sin. But what's interesting about it is Jesus doesn't just look at her and go, well, then don't worry about it. Go on, right? That's not what he does. He positions himself next to her. He's with her. He loves her. And then he says, stop sinning. He goes, do this no more. Like he goes, change. You see how he held both? He unblinkingly, unblushingly faced the sin and the brokenness that was there. But he also pointed to the hope of grace, and he said, respond to this grace. You do have to change. He held both love and truth. That's who we want to be as a church. That's how we want to treat each other. We want to have this kind of culture, a tov culture, a goodness culture. We're going to be a church that pursues truth, that hears truth, and then speaks truth to each other and does it in love. Would you pray with me? God, we recognize that this truth stuff is actually really, really messy, because we know every situation, every person's story makes it, it's just so often we find ourselves in tricky spots. But we don't want to run away from truth just because life is messy and hard and tricky. So would you help us to hold tight to our relationships and to lean into them and actually speak truth to each other? God, may we be a church that pursues truth in every area of life. May we be a group of people who pursue truth in our world, in our culture, and with each other. And God, maybe hardest for me, maybe for many of us, would you help me to be a person that can hear truth, even hard truths? Pray all this in your holy name. Amen. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to sing one more song together.